since last I stood on this platform. It took you that long to recover. And so good to be here this morning and appreciate all that you have sung and have said. It's so good to be here in Colchester again. I want to thank your pastor publicly for the privilege of standing behind this sacred desk. I hope you pray for your pastor. I hope you pray for him constantly. He needs it. Pray for him. I don't know if you're familiar with J. Vernon McGee, but he tells a story about a friend of his who pastored in Texas. And in that church, a middle-aged couple joined. And this couple was one of those marriages, and you've all seen them, where the wife controlled everything. And she was quite the controller. In fact, everything that she was involved in, she tried to control. So she tried to control this pastor, and he would have none of it. Had none of it. She just could not control him. Finally, one day she got so frustrated. Folks, this is a true story. She got so frustrated, she said to her pastor, "Pastor, if you were my husband, I would poison you." The pastor very quickly said, "Ma'am, if you were my wife, I'd take it." I hope you pray for your pastor and his wife and appreciate the ministry that he's had here now for 16 years. And that's wonderful. And so good to see you again. I recognize a few of you. How many of you, just out of curiosity, would you raise your hand? How many of you were here 18 years ago? Okay, yeah, about five of you. Okay. And good to see you again. And thank you for this privilege. I need to say this in case anybody might be interested. Out there on a table, I'll tell you more about it tonight, but out there on the table are four different trumpet CDs. They are for sale and featuring trumpet and orchestra. And if that interests you at all, you see me after the service, and I'll be glad to tell you more about those, but I'll tell you more about them tonight. Hope you'll be back tonight, and hope that you're making up your mind right now that you will be here, because let me tell you why. It's God's will. It's God's will. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. The Lord wants you here at 5:59. And we'll look forward to seeing you again here tonight. Thank you again for this privilege. And let's get into it, could we please? May I invite you to grab your Bible and turn with me to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. And while you're turning there, let me just refresh your memories as to why Philippians is in your Bible. This is important to kind of remember here this morning. Remember that back in Acts chapter 16 and 17, Paul is on his second missionary journey. And he's in a city called Troas. And while he is there, he has a vision where a man is saying, "Paul, please come to Macedonia." Now, folks, Macedonia was a country. It was a rival country to Greece. But Macedonia is a country. And in this vision, this man is saying, "Paul, please come to Macedonia." And so Paul obeyed that vision, and he made a beeline to Macedonia. And what's so significant about that, people, is this is the first time officially that the gospel is being called to Europe. And most of us have our descent from the European theater. So the gospel is now really good. It had been a Middle East thing, and now it's really going to Europeans like us. And what an exciting step for the gospel. And so Paul got to Macedonia, and he made a beeline to a very significant city called Philippi. Philippi originally was an army outpost. In fact, it's named after the father of Alexander the Great. It was a very wicked city, and it was a very significant and large city and wealthy city. Well, Paul made a beeline to Philippi. And when he got there, as his custom was, he made a beeline to the synagogue. Oh, he loved the synagogue, but we had a problem in Philippi. There was no synagogue. I am told that you need at least 11 Jewish males to have a synagogue. Evidently, there weren't that many that had celebrated their bar mitzvah. But Paul had heard that there was a group of devout women who met down by the river for fellowship, for prayer, and Paul showed up. Can you imagine this, folks? On a Saturday morning, there's a document that has survived in antiquity that describes, and we don't know how accurate it is, but it describes what the Apostle Paul looked like. The document says that he was rather short, he was bald, all godly men are. He had a big nose, it says, and he had scars all over his face from the various beatings. Now, whether or not that's accurate, we don't know. But if you would just kind of visualize in your mind's eye, a man like that showing up at a ladies' Bible study. "Hi, ladies, can I take it today?" And evidently those ladies said yes, because a whole gob of them got saved. Paul preach the gospel to these Jewish ladies. A couple of them got saved, one of which was Lydia, who is a very successful businesswoman and evidently a woman of means, because the Bible tells us that the church that got started there at Philippi met at her house. So you've got this church now planted in Philippi. We don't know how long Paul was there. We do know that men got saved because Philippians is written to the bishops and deacons at the church at Philippi. Well, folks, Paul planted that church. He was the pastor of it for a while and taught them great things and then left to continue his ministry in other places. Well, people, 14 years later, word got back to that church at Philippi that their beloved Paul, who they adored, and we know that because the Bible tells us they kept sending him gifts over and over and over again. They kept sending him money. Greatly adored the Apostle Paul. He was their church father, planted their church, led many of them to the Lord. 14 years later, word got back to him that Paul was now a prisoner of Nero. I don't know how much you know about history, but Nero was a kook. And bad things happened to prisoners that were a prisoner of Nero. And that church at Philippi was very, very concerned. They were worried about two things, people, two things. They were worried of, first of all, what in the world is going to happen to the gospel? If you see, people, the gospel was brand new. It was perceived by just about everybody in that world as a cult. It was a cult referred to as the way, because they were very narrow-minded. And they believed that you could only get to heaven by one way. And so it was called the way. When they were worried at that church at Philippi about what is going to happen to the gospel, because the number one spokesman in the Gentile world was now in prison, they were worried. They were also worried about what in the world is going to happen to our beloved Paul. We adore that man. We love that man. It's kind of interesting, folks, kind of down a rabbit trail here, of the heart connection that is made between a preacher, a pastor, and his congregation. When somebody comes into your life and preaches the gospel, and it's good gospel, it's biblical, there's kind of a connection if indeed you're saved. I like how David said it. He said, "They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word." There's kind of a connection. And people, there was a strong connection between the church at Philippi and the Apostle Paul. And they were very, very worried about what in the world is going to happen to Paul. We love that man. We adore them. And so evidently, people, the pastor of that church got up on a Sunday morning and said, "Could I get a volunteer? Could I get a volunteer? Would anybody be willing to walk the 700 miles from Philippi to Rome and check on Paul, take him a gift, minister to him, and just be friendly to him?" They had a volunteer. Oh, people. What a man. And he's got one of the coolest names, I believe, in all scripturedom. His name was Epaphroditus. I am asking, Pastor, that before I die, that the Lord will let me meet an Epaphroditus. I have never met an Epaphroditus. It's just the coolest name ever. Could I just appeal to those of you of marriageable age and childbearing age? Would you pray about naming a son Epaphroditus? We could call him Epi. We could call him Di. We could call him Tuss. Whatever you'd like. But what a cool name. Oh, and by the way, Colchester, a young couple took me up on it. I was preaching in Pennsylvania about a year ago. And a couple came up and said, "Brother Mike, we're going to take you up on your challenge. We're going to name our son. He's not born yet, but we're going to name him Epaphroditus. But it's going to be his middle name." Not good enough, people. I want a first name, Epaphroditus. What a cool name. But evidently, a man by the name of Epaphroditus said, I'll go. And folks, he did. He got the 700 miles all the way to Rome. And when he got there, let me tell you what he found out. Epaphroditus wasn't in prison. Paul wasn't in prison. He was a prisoner, but he wasn't in prison. We're told that the Roman government would often allow elite prisoners, special prisoners, privileges. Privilege of maybe just renting a house and being under house arrest. Under house arrest, that prisoner would be chained to a Praetorian guard. 24-7. 24-7. I'll tell you more about that here in a few minutes. That's what Epaphroditus found. And when Epaphroditus got there, and he no doubt shared with the Apostle Paul the concerns that this church at Philippi had for him. And so, folks, when you read Philippians chapter 1, where I hope you're open now, when you read Philippians chapter 1, Paul immediately addresses their two worries. And he says, hey, church, don't worry about me. You got that very famous verse number 12 where he says, the things that have happened unto me have happened rather under the furtherance of the gospel. Don't worry about me. I'm right in the middle of God's will. Well, people, that flew in the face of Paul's detractors, because there were a whole gob of them, especially in Jerusalem, that were saying, oh, that Paul, he's got his comeuppance. Because of what he has said about the law, because of what he has said about Judaism, God has judged him. And Paul said, no, I am a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm right in the middle of his will. Please pray for my release. I'd like to see you again. But I'm right in the middle of God's will, and God is using me. And then he says, and let me address your second worry. Let me tell you about the gospel. And folks, put your seatbelts on. This is so rich. He said, don't you worry about the gospel. There is a revival going on in the Roman government. How in the world could that happen? He's a prisoner. Well, folks, remember I told you that he's chained to a Praetorian Guard? Let me tell you about those guys. They were elite. The Praetorian Guards were to the Roman army what the Navy SEALs are to ours, or the Green Berets. They were special, elite, specially chosen troops that served the Caesar. They were specially paid. We're told that when they retired after about 15 years, they were given property anywhere in the Roman Empire that they wanted. It was a very prestigious position. Those Praetorian Guards, we are told, would be chained to a prisoner like Paul in six-hour increments, which means, folks, if you do the math, and I know that's a cuss word anymore in America, but if you do the math, that's four different soldiers that are chained to Paul every day. Now, folks, I hope that you'll let your New England humor enjoy the next statement. It's one thing to be chained to a Praetorian Guard. It's an entirely different dynamic to be chained to Paul. Who's really chained to who? Paul had a captive audience. And we know from Acts, and we know from other books in the Bible, that Paul had a consistent line of visitors, one of which was Onesimus, that slave that got saved. People got saved. The Bible even tells us that Paul there in Rome was doing miracles. And these Praetorian Guards saw everything. They heard everything from his mouth. There was nothing personal. Those guards saw every reaction. Paul had nothing private. They saw everything. And no doubt a whole gob of them got saved. And there was a revival going on, Paul says, in the Roman government because of the Praetorian Guard. Could I just stop there for a second, client, and time out? I wonder if somebody was chained to you, would they get saved? Would they get saved? If that's doubtful, shame on you. Shame on you. I wonder if you are the kind of testimony that the Apostle Paul would have been. You know, my friends, let me tell you something else. Every one of you are chained. Every one of you. You're chained to a job. You're chained to a marriage, perhaps. You're chained to a school. You're chained to a neighborhood. Every one of you have chains. And God has got you right where he's got you, young people and adults. God's got you right where he wants you because he wants to use you. He wants you to cause revival. What would Paul be like if he were in your chains? What would he be like? That's God's will for you. Kind of interesting to ponder that, isn't it? Well, there's a revival, and so no doubt, folks, Epaphroditus returned to Philippi. We know he did that. No doubt carrying this letter that's in your lap right now called Philippians. And when you start reading Philippians chapter 1, he addresses those two concerns. And then, people, you come to verse in my text this morning. Are you there? Verse number 27. Look with me, please, at verse number 27. And if you've got a King James Bible here this morning, I want you to do something for me. When I count to three, would you please just give me the first word of verse 27? It's a biggie. Verse number 27, the very first word. Are you ready? One, two, three. Well, that was about three of you, but we'll go with that, okay? Only. Only. Now, let me tell you what that word only means. It's kind of fun. The word only is kind of the same dynamic, people, that you ladies use when you're trying to get the attention of your husband and he's watching the Patriots. Hey, look at me. What you teachers do when you've got some students that are distracted. What you men do and you're trying to talk to your teenager and he's playing a video game. Hey, I want you to look at me. Hey, I want you to catch this. Friends, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is doing to you. He's saying, hey, it's good to know about my background. It's good to, I gave you all this biography stuff and good to know about the power of the gospel. But I really want you to catch this. Pay attention. I really want you to focus on this. Here's where I really want to take you. So friends, do you understand that by that word only, what you're about to read is really what Paul wants you to catch? And what does he say? Let's read on. Verse 27, okay? You follow as I quote. He says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Would you look at me, please? We'll finish the verse a little later. But let's just stop there for a moment and do a little dissecting. Only, catch this, let your conversation, folks, you got to know, Bible believers, you got to know that when Paul used that word conversation, it rang their Philippian bells. They went, no doubt, mentally. Why? Because, folks, what I haven't told you yet, and I know some of you already know this, but stay with me. What I haven't told you yet is that Philippi was a very unique city. There were only about 200 of them, even though there were hundreds of thousands of cities in the Roman Empire, there were only about 200 like Philippi. Philippi was called, very significant, a Roman colony. A Roman colony. Now, I realize who I'm looking at. I'm looking at New Englanders, and I say the word colony, you immediately think, ah, rustic, log cabins, shoe buckles, muskets, turkeys, lobster, Indians. Yeah, that's what you think. That's not fair. That's not fair to the word, people. The word colony, may I remind you of your history, Americans? The first 100 years of our existence here in this land, we were very, very loyal to the crown. We were very loyal to England. If you were the right kind of citizen, you were very faithful to the king and queen of England, and you lovingly, well, maybe not lovingly, but you paid your taxes. We were very loyal to the king. And so when you came to America, you are coming to a piece of England away from England. That's what the word colony means. So when you came to America, and we've got 13 of them, when you came to America and you came to one of those colonies, guess what the official language was?
English. Why? Because we were a piece of England away from England. Keep me hot, okay? I'm very soft-spoken. Well, for people, Philippi was a piece of Rome away from Rome. They were so proud of that. They were so incredibly proud of that that we are told by historians that you women who lived in Philippi appreciate, what laws we don't. What leaders we appreciate, what leaders we don't. We are talking about the way that we conduct ourselves as, keyword, citizens. Citizens. The word conversation to a Philippian believer meant citizenship. And Paul is saying, only let your citizenship be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. I don't know how many of you are saved. I hope all of you. Statistics say, and the Bible says probably not. You're always saved. Jesus said that. But if indeed you're saved here this morning, my friend, the Bible says you're a citizen of heaven. In fact, let me prove my point. Hold your finger here, would you, in Philippians chapter 1, and just turn one page. If your Bible is inspired like mine, just turn one page to chapter 3. Look at chapter 3, would you please, at verse number 20. Verse number 20. Now get ready. I'm going to have you say a word out loud, okay? Chapter 3 and verse number 20. And what does the Bible say? For our what, people? Exact same word. Exact same word. May our citizenship be, and what does the rest of the verse 20 say? What does the rest of verse 20 say? For our conversation is in what, people? You're all about where Ralph is right now. You can't wait till you join him. You're looking forward to him. All of you that know the Bible, all of you that believe the Bible, you know the best is still yet to come. I hope I don't offend Brenda with what I'm about to say, but let me
should Christians listen to that kind of music? Should Christians post that kind of stuff on Facebook? Should Christians look that way? Should Christians drink that? Should Christians talk like that? Folks, you're very, very concerned about being becoming. Why? Because you are being watched. I know that bothers some of you. Some of you that are immature in your faith are probably, well, they hidden yet. They hidden why? Well, grow up. That's human nature. You claim to be a Christian, you immediately put a bullseye right on your forehead. I am different. Let me live it. That's what God's looking for. That's what Paul's after. But my friend in this verse, he's saying, come on now, only get this. Let your lifestyle be as it becometh. It's attractive. I'll never forget a couple years ago, people. I was doing a revival in Pittsburgh. Yes, there are Christians there. I know that shocks you. But I was doing a revival in Pittsburgh, and on Tuesday of that week, the pastor took me to a restaurant for lunch. It was one of those restaurants I think that all of you are familiar with where there were flat screen TVs everywhere. Big, huge flat screen TVs. The perfect place to go on Saturday during college football season. Could I get an amen? Not a one. Good grief. So, we went there, but it was a Tuesday. People, it was a Tuesday. And we got in there, and the maitre d' took us to our table, and we sat down, and literally from me to that wall right there was a massive, huge TV flat screen, and they were showing music videos on it. They had the sound, fortunately, turned way down, but they were showing music videos. And you know what a music video is, don't you? They kind of act out what their music is saying. Well, we were sitting there not long, and all of a sudden, a young lady came on that screen. If I said her name, all of you would recognize it. She's very popular, and she's very attractive. And she came on there, and she was wearing an outfit, and I'm about to describe ice to Eskimos. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But she came on there wearing an outfit that just said, I'm ready to get it on. I'm ready to do the party scene. Yeah. And she started moving in a way, people, hear me carefully, New England Christians, she started moving in a way that was commanded and dictated by her music. Some of you crybabies need to grow up and remember and realize that music always has a message, even without words. That would have been a great place, deacons, to say amen. But anyway, she started moving in a way that was dictated by her music. Folks, as a Christian mind, it was so bad I had to literally turn at an angle to avoid what she was communicating. Because my Bible says, flee. Flee fornication. Flee that lifestyle. Let me tell you about the young lady. I know some stuff about her. I know who she is. I recognize her. And I have read over and over in the media. She claims to be a Christian. She claims to be a Christian. And folks, I am not here to debate that. I'm going to take her for her word. It's all over, and she says it over and over again. So, taking her at her word, do you understand where I'm going with this? Are you connecting the dots? There she is, my Christian sister, saying, hey, Mike, I know the Bible might say something, but I want to take you a different direction. What? How weird. Oh, folks, let me use a very offensive word. What's the opposite of becoming? I'm open to suggestions. I think I heard ugly. Did I hear ugly? Did somebody say ugly? Perfect word! Perfect! That Christian sister, somebody who is becoming to the gospel. Well, folks, what in the world is the gospel? That's important to know as we're talking about this. What's the gospel? Some of you smarties would say, oh, that's easy, Mike. The word gospel means good news. Well, big whooping deal. What's the good news? Let me tell you, the good news is you and I can be forgiven. Forgiven of what, folks? Something all you have a problem with, sin. And once you got saved, I know something about you. Once you got saved, if you're a real Christian, once you got saved, God gave you a hatred for sin. Do you live like it? Do you live like you hate sin? If you don't, why are you so ugly? Come on. Get right. Let the Lord have his will in your life. Come on. Start obeying the Bible. What does the Bible say about your music, your dress, your vocabulary, the way you act, your thought life? What does the Bible say? That is attractive. But folks, would you watch this? Let's go on. Verse 27. You still with me? Watch this. He says, only, catch this now, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I see you or else be absent. Would you look at me just for a moment? This is kind of down a rabbit trail. But people, Christians, would you listen to me? Whether or not you obey this verse has nothing to do with the church you attend. It has nothing to do with who your pastor. It has nothing to do with your background. It has everything to do with you just obeying. You don't need a pastor for that. You don't need a church for that. Oh, those are all, don't get me wrong, those are all very important dynamics in the life of a Christian, and all of you need that, but that has nothing to do with you obeying this verse. It's all between you and the Lord. You make up your mind. I'm going to do right. Has nothing to do whether you're being observed or not. I am going to do right, even in private. And so Paul says, though I be with you or else be absent. And then, folks, let me read on. Verse 27. You with me? I want you to say a word out loud in a moment, okay? That I may. Next word out loud, please. Here. 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 Would you look at it? Hear. People hear about you. Every one of you young people, every one of you adults have a reputation. Every one of you. Nothing wrong with that. We adore that. We call it a testimony. What kind of testimony? What do people hear? What do they see when they watch you? What do they hear? That shouldn't scare you. You should welcome that. You should want that. It gives you an opportunity to obey the Bible, people, when it says, go out there and be light and be salt. As one seminary professor of mine said, go out there and be a brilliant beam of light and a potent particle of salt. Well, how do you do that? By obeying the gospel. By being attractive. By being becoming. So he said, Paul says, that I may hear of your affairs, and let's read on, folks, next phrase in your Bible. Okay, would you look at it with me, please? He says, that I may hear of your affairs, that ye, next two words out loud, say it please. Stand fast. Hey, Colchester Christians, Paul wanted to hear about you. Oh, those people at Colchester Baptist Bible Church. Did I say that right, Pastor? Bible Baptist? Did I get it backwards? Okay. Those of you at Colchester Church, hope I hear about you. That you stand fast. Yeah, those people, they stand fast. Yeah, those men, they stand. Oh, those women, yeah, they stand fast. Every one of you, it's God's will for every one of you to have a reputation that you stand fast. You just stand fast. Even though you're in high school, even though you're in college, even though you're single, even though you're married, even though you're retired, you stand fast. Folks, let's understand what stand fast is, okay? Because it's God's will for your life. The word stand fast is a military term. Any veterans in here? Any veterans? Raise your hand if you're a veteran. Thank you. Oh, well, man. Yes. What were you in, ma'am?
Chair Force.
That's what they got. Yeah. Thank you for your, yeah, now you are. Thank you for your service. Let's talk later, okay? I'd like to know your testimony. But anyway, it's a military term. Folks, never mind. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says that scholarship, and she was a fine soccer player. And yes, finally, she got picked to be on America's women's national team. They're really good. They're really good. They're the best in the world. They're phenomenal soccer team. I like watching them. It's kind of fun. Jalene Hinkle was a great player on our American Olympic national women's soccer team. She was really good. Well, as you can imagine, because the American national team is what it is, that team decided, like the rest of unsaved America, that they were going to promote the wicked, ungodly, anti-Bible agenda of homosexuality. And so that women's team decided for a while that they were going to put the emblem of the homosexuals, the rainbow, on their uniforms. Jalene Hinkle loves the Lord Jesus Christ. She loves the Bible, do you? Jalene Hinkle went to her coaches. She said, "Can I be excused? I have convictions against this. It's wrong. God says it's wrong. I can't wear that. Could I be excused?" They said, "No. You are off the team." Folks, what a price. But Jalene Hinkle, I hope that God allows me someday to meet her. When I do, as long as my wife is there, I'm going to give her a big hug. I want to slip her a $20 bill and have a Starbucks on me. I have nothing but respect for you. That's what I want to do if I ever meet her. Jalene Hinkle, people, stayed in her foxhole. She knew what God said. She knew what the Bible says. She knows what God commands. And she stayed true to her convictions. Do you? What do you like when it comes to the Bible, taking a stand on it, staying in your foxhole? You know what's right. It's all very black and white, folks, when you know the Bible. I know what the Bible says, and I'm going to stay true to the Bible. I don't care what's politically correct. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I don't care what other couples in my church are doing. I don't care what other teenagers in my youth group are doing. I am going to stay true to the Word of God. As for me and my life, I'm going to serve the Lord. Boy, what a great place, church, to say amen. Would you please say it? 1, 2, 3.
Amen.
Did that hurt? Did that hurt? Try some more sometime, okay? It doesn't hurt, I promise. And you know what you're doing? You know what you're doing when you say amen? You're identifying before God. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's truth. Yeah, preacher, get him. Oh, we need that. Amen, Pastor? We need that. He didn't even say amen. he was sleeping. I saw his wife have to do this. And folks, stay in your foxhole. New England Christian, I know what kind of environment you live in. I know what's going on in New England. I lived here for off and on for 18 years, 17 years. I know New England well. That's no excuse. I don't care, nor should you. God has called every one of you, stay in your foxhole. Learn what the Bible says and be attractive. How you doing? How are you doing? Would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes?
While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed,